Tom is in Camden Town. Hello, Tom.
Hi, good afternoon, James. How are you?
Very good, Tom. Nice to see the weather has changed for the better.
Oh, finally. It's not like somebody to put the switch on. But yeah, I was funny about this, about the addictions and alcoholics and what have you. I'm speaking from a point of view where I'm 7 years clean and sober.
Well done.
I can say now, even with this amount of time under my belt, it's something that still requires a daily effort and a daily input, and it's something that, you know, for the rest of my life I have to be aware of on a daily basis. It's something that I have to get up in the morning, and it's my first woken thought. Good morning, Tom, you alky.
For those people who don't understand, tell, if you can, I don't know whether you can do this, what is it like, how does it suddenly creep up on you that you become an addict?
Well, initially, I started drinking. My first drinker was at about the age of seven.
Really?
And funnily enough, it was when I was away at a Fleet Bank school. We were given it at Christmases and Easters when we were still choristers. Enough said, but that was many, many, many years ago. And life carried on. I mean, I grew up. I was a bit of a heavy drinker during my teens. It didn't seem to be any worse than any other person. And I got into a successful world of work where drink and at this point drugs were readily available. You know, most times I would say.
Yeah.
I started smoking pot at about the age of 16. And I would say that the general kind of drug addiction, I mean, alcoholics and addicts justify and they rationalize their situation an awful lot. You know, and it isn't until you come out of the addiction that you can actually take an objective point of view and really look at where it has taken you. But the bottom line was that by the time I'd got to my late 30s, I had a 200-300 pound a day cocaine habit. I would be drinking guaranteed from lunchtime onwards. Between lunchtime and the evening, I might drink 10 to 12 pints and work, finish work, and then really start drinking and using. It affected my work life, obviously,
everything. If it's not a rude question, Tom, what sort of job did you have that enabled you to do that?
Well, working in the film industry.
Right.
Enough said.
Yeah. How did you eventually realise that you had to turn your life around? What was that trigger moment?
Well, the option was taken away. You know, alcohol and drugs will slowly remove every single option from your life. One by one, it'll take things, and the last thing it'll take will be your life and sanity. I'd been working overseas in the business for a number of years. I came back into England absolutely broken. I'd spent every penny. There was no chance of employment. And, you know, somebody from a very good home, good upbringing, good job, great future and everything else ended up homeless.
You were on the streets?
No, I was, yes.
living in a cardboard box?
Park, actually.
And how was it? What were your thoughts?
Well, you know, there's the poor me, you know, and as they say in Alcoholics, another poor me, another drink. You know, it's self-pity won't get you anywhere.
All right, so you'd lost everything, no money, you're sitting on the street. How did you manage to feed your habit?
Basically, every single penny I got at that point, it was just going. I mean, I had money. You know, put aside, I'd sold my property just before it got taken away from me and ended up with a few quid as a result of that. And it was just really hard work. Ended up living at a YMCA hostel. And from there, I was taken in by a charity in southeast London in Nunhead who gave me a residential detox. Now, when I went into detox, I was on about 300 milligrams of diazepam a day. I was on prescription painkillers. Like I say, I had a cocaine crack habit that was just beyond control. And I was broken, absolutely broken. And, you know, thankfully for this charity, I was taken in and given a medically supervised detox. But, you know, I think it's somewhat naive, and I'd like to know where exactly Mr. Duncan Smith, you know, gleans his information from, because it seems to be that he has an opinion that, you know, it's something that you can maybe pack an addict off to a couple of AA meetings and put them back in the workplace. Well, you know, when you've what you're essentially doing is having to relearn life. You're having to relearn your life skills, how you apply yourself to life, and deal with self-esteem, self-confidence, and health issues.
I mean, you must have been ill. I mean, not eating properly, living on the street, only taking drugs. I mean, you must have nearly killed yourself, didn't you?
I was given less than 6 months if I'd carried on. And
what about your family, Tom? What about the family? What about your, I don't know, did you have a girlfriend, a wife, or children?
I left her overseas. The family, to be honest with you, I'd let them down in so many different ways, you know, that they didn't want to have anything to do with me. You know, I mean, not that, you know, that they stopped loving me or anything else like that, but it was just a bit of tough love, you know. Then sending money, you know, blowing the shoulder to cry on. It was just enabling
Sorry, Tom, to rush in because we'll run out of time. But I want to know, what was that trigger that made you suddenly realise, right, that's it, if I go any lower, I'm dead?
Well, the doctor told me, but I still hadn't had enough. And fortunately, at that point, I'd just been taken into a residential detox, which I'll gloss over what happened after that very, very quickly because you are short of time. The residential detox took 2.5 months to bring me back down to zero.
Gosh.
I then had to go into a 6-month residential rehab situation. I then went to live in a dry house for 2 years. And at which point, you know, I mean, it's all very well trying to send people off back to work. Any addict, alcoholic, in the first few years of recovery, if it has really gone to that point, really needs to make their first waking thought and their last thought of each and every day that they have to keep this condition under check. And that I've been given the tools to do this, but I'm not saying that it's easy. There are days, weeks, and when I walk past pubs, and particularly on a warm day like this, and I see people quaffing on a glass of white wine out there, I've got to remind myself that the reality for me of drinking is not that.
I mean, it must be a full-time job for you or anybody else in that case to get themselves back and clean.
If you've taken it as far, I mean, you had a call early on who decided that he was going to quit pot overnight. I mean, congratulations, but there are an awful lot of addicts and alcoholics out there who really can't. I mean, it's a compulsion. It's like having an itch on that part of your back that you can't get to, and you try scratching, it just doesn't get any better. You must have a drink. You must have a fix. And, you know, you need to take a couple of years to learn how to sit with yourself without modifying your behaviour to drink or drugs.
Can you sit outside a bar now and have some water or a soft drink or something like that? Are you able to do that?
Yes, I can. I mean, I don't mind sitting with people that are having a drink, but I must admit, once they've got to that 2.5-3 pint point where things just, don't get silly, but, you know, that everything just changes a little bit. Mm. That's the point when I tend to walk away, really. You know, I've done my socialising bit, and now it's their drinking bit. They can get on with it.
So how are you now, Tom, 7 years on, if we can cut to now? I mean, how are you doing now? Are you working?
Working, got my own flat. My whole family are back on board, and, you know, I've got the full love and support of my family again. I still have to make amends to some of my friends, which is part of the recovery program. And, you know, making amends isn't just saying sorry. I mean, when they put the amendments into America, they weren't apologizing for their constitution. I actually had to go about and make amends, changes to the things that I've done wrong. And it's a long process. But, you know, for the first year, I was doing three AA meetings a day. And really getting up, it was the first thing I did, you know.
Listen, I hope somebody will pass your call on to Ian Duncan Smith, and maybe you can tell him that there is a way to help people get clean, but it's not as easy as knocking off their benefits and sending them to rehab and hoping that...
And 2 years ago, this government stripped the funding out of recovery. You know, the amount of places in most boroughs, I mean, they're shutting down detox units left, right and centre, you know... It is so naive, it's just unbelievable.
Tom,
if Mr. Duncan Smith ever wanted to have a chat, please pass on my number.
We have your number, Tom. What a great story. Thank you very much indeed for sharing it with us. Good to talk with you, Tom. Thank you very much indeed.